Hello and welcome to Cartoonist Kayfabe. My name is Jim Rugg.
I'm Ed Piskor.
I'm pretty excited, Ed, to look at David Mazzucchelli's Leaves Mainstream Comics and Comes Up with Rubber Blanket. We're going to look at one of the best-known pieces from Rubber Blanket today, Big Man. But before we do, tell us about Red Room.
Murder on the Dark Web for Fun and Profit is the name of the game in the Red Room comic book series, my latest effort from Fantagraphics. The first issue is out, triple the size of your average comic, but not triple the price. And they are going quick. So if you see one, scoop it up, because we're going to have to reprint these things pretty soon. It's going to be coming out on a monthly basis. We have issue two off to the presses as we speak. And you should get put on your pull list. Every issue completely self-contained. So if you see an issue, grab an issue. And if you want to read the comics ahead of time, hit up my Patreon. Patreon.com/EdPiskor. $3 will get you the archive there. Have well over 100 pages up as we speak. New strips up every Tuesday. All that stuff you could find in my link tree in the description below.
Street Angel goes to Juvie. One of the I'm continuing a look at these hardcovers that Image published of Street Angel. Some of my favorite books I've ever designed, with these elaborate end pages. Just a very fun thing to work on. In this case, Street Angel, the homeless ninja on a skateboard, gets arrested, sent to Juvie. Just a matter of time before this was sort of an inevitable fate for her, I think. But you can find this, you can find How I Make Comics, the original art from these books, and a lot of my process on patreon.com/JimRugg. So pick up Street Angel Goes to Juvie at your favorite comic or bookstore, and follow me on patreon.com/JimRugg. But Ed, we are here today to talk about the one half of the creators of Batman Year One, of Daredevil Born Again, and then he decides he's had enough of the mainstream comics machine. He can do whatever he wants, essentially, at that point. He goes out and starts his own one-man anthology, although I guess he invites some of his friends, but this is David Mazzucchelli's book, and oversees the production of it. Absolutely beautiful, the name Rubber Blanket, referring to the printing technique of actually using the rubber blanket to put ink onto the printers. So you can tell he's invested in that part of it. This is a guy who's hands-on. We read a comics journal excerpt of him, and he talked about how you want to be the last person to touch that art before it goes off to the printer. So a guy who knows what he's doing and has some very specific ideas, and that's what Rubber Blanket was, a chance to see him express those ideas.
In that same set of interviews, he was talking about his love of Raw Magazine, oversized book we have right here. We have a lot of other sort of foreign talent.
Yeah, you know what? I'll actually flip through as we get to Big Man, just to give an example of what an issue of Rubber Blanket looks like. And each one's a little bit different from issue to issue, but like you say, Ed, it is this anthology format, Raw Magazine, probably a good reference point. And you can see he's bringing other artists in, to kind of create that anthology, Raw Magazine atmosphere.
This issue is the issue that was available whenever the Palmer's Picks came out. So it was one of those things, like when we were young, establishing our education in comics, you don't know what you don't know, right? So who the fuck knew that Rubber Blanket was a thing until Uncle Tom Palmer gave us the scoop?
That's how I learned about it.
And this was the one that was available, because even in some of the stuff that you saw there where it showed the front covers of the earlier Rubber Blankets, it said sold out. So like those things were not available at the time. Scooped this one up as soon as I ran to the comic shop after checking out that Palmer's Picks. Got it put on my pull list. Couldn't wait for issue four.
How's that wait going?
Still waiting.
Yeah, by the way, I would buy that one if it comes out tomorrow.
It did come out. It's called Asterios Polo.
So today we're going to focus on Big Man, the longest story that ran in any issue of Rubber Blanket. Context I'll provide for it right off the top is Barry Windsor-Smith's Monster.
Sure, yeah.
This is often compared to the Hulk. Mazzucchelli's described it as being more fairy tale-like in his mind, so keep that in mind as we go through. It's a relatively simple story. What happens is these kids are playing on the beach whenever they discover a giant tied to a raft that has washed ashore near them, and kind of changes their life.
Yes, man.
What do you do whenever you're a kid and you find a giant tied to a raft? You know, you notify your parents, who get the adults in the community to come out, and they're not sure what to do either.
He's trying some things here, man. Like, you got this, like, depth of field thing happening. Mm-hmm. And, does it work? Does it not? It sort of gets lost a little bit, but he's trying some things, man. Like, you need to see what it looks like in print to see if you're going to, like, do this again. I would bet you if we talked to him, he wouldn't do this again, because the character really does get lost
yeah.
with the textures of the water there. But you got to figure that shit out on your own.
Works better here with like a truck following a truck. You know, it's pretty clear. This one, not as clear.
Yeah, something inanimate. Like if you have like an organic form, like figures, I think you need to spell them out a little bit more. But who the F am I? This is Mazzucchelli we're talking about.
All the kids run away, you know, whenever they see this. They're not sure what to do. He's still alive. They poke him with a stick and he makes a noise. So they run off to get their parents. They leave the girl behind, which sets off some of the parents. Like, what were you thinking, leaving her alone? She develops a connection with this character.
Yeah. The physiognomy of her face, specifically her teeth right there, kind of let you know where she's at with things.
You know, that's very true. And watching at home, like, keep an eye on all of that, because this was one of those early alternative comics for me. Mm-hmm. And the way he draws in this and makes marks and makes faces and eyes and mouth, really different than anything I had ever seen up to this point. And I knew what he could do. Yeah. I had seen Batman and Daredevil. I knew that he could draw anything. He's one of the best guys to come out of that Marvel DC style. And these choices were deliberate, therefore. And yeah. It was up to me to try to figure out why.
He really, inspired a generation of cartoonists. Like, I think of, like, Nick Bertozzi and, mm-hmm. That era of, like, Jeff Mason alternative comics, brand comics.
Yes, definitely.
Like, comes from this influence here. Down to the kind of sepia inks and things, like not using or being beholden to a black line.
Yeah, in case it's not clear at home, this is a second color. This is not like an ink wash or a light gray. This is a second ink color that he's using here, even though it sort of is very close to that gray, you know, what could be mistaken as a black and white comic, but it's two color printing here.
Yeah, yeah. Like, this would be called, like, if you were looking at your, like, Copic markers or your Prismacolor markers, this would be called a warm gray.
Yes, exactly. So we cut to one of the main characters. He's going to house this guy in his barn, has room in his barn, put him in a barn. This is a very rural community, and you get that sense because they contact the authority, but it's going to be days before anybody comes out to kind of, you know, give them some advice, figure out what's going on. And so you have that community of, like, get together in the guy's house and let's talk about what we're going to do here. You know, he's a monster. You know, he's a monster. He's huge. He's like 10 feet tall. Nobody's ever seen anything like this.
One of the most striking images of the piece to me.
Yes, super dramatic lighting, shadows, scale. It all comes through in this image. Frankenstein is another thing that you could compare this story with in some ways. But exhibits no violence towards these men who, they keep them locked up in this barn, but we're going to see how that works out as the story progresses. The farmer who's housing him, I really like that character. He's, I guess, a young father, has no answers. At one point, he talks about his dad dying, and it reminds me of, like, the Coen brothers, No Country for Old Men, when Tommy Lee Jones talks about his father, you know, he's now older than his father was or whatever. In this case, this character talks about being taller than his father was, but still feeling like, you know, not an adult. Like, he doesn't really know how to manage these things. But the big man, they give him something to write on, and he writes down a bunch of symbols that they don't recognize. Pretty fun, the way they Mazzucchelli characterizes this guy.
Yeah.
Like, he's alien, he's other, he's definitely not from these people's world.
Yeah, like, the whole raft situation, it just, it creates so many questions. Like, you would just, some stuff happened before this guy showed up, man.
Yeah, and also, like, somebody tied him to that raft and sent him away.
Exactly.
This could be a terrible, terrible thing, and way towers over all these dudes. Like, they're not stopping him if he decides he wants to do something.
Yeah, like, he's the runt of the litter.
So, puts a little padlock on the door whenever they leave him in there, feed him and stuff. You know, everybody's civil, but it's still just like, what do you do? I mean, we have a giant in our barn 20 feet from where my kids are sleeping. And you see his daughter is Rebecca, the girl who stayed behind whenever they were on the beach. And, I don't know, seems to be developing a relationship. So he's watching the guy eat, seeing nothing aggressive.
And it's like a week's worth of food.
Oh, yeah.
This guy has to eat every single day, man.
That's a family. That looks like the one nice family feast, you know, maybe a Sunday afternoon family feast.
Right.
Yeah, that's a lot of food. But after he eats, he says, you know, come on out, follow me. Tries to gesture with him, you know, some communication. And again, anytime you get a sense of his scale next to a person, I really like that stuff. Some of the things that Mazzucchelli's able to do as a master cartoonist. And he puts him to work, you know, pulling tree stumps out and stuff, replanting some of these trees. And it's no big deal to Big Man.
Yeah, man.
He just yanks this stuff out. Normally, you'd need a tractor and a team. One guy. But here's an example of those faces that I was talking about. Like, that's a really strange everything. Face, nose, mouth, eyes. A lot of weird features.
Hamburger.
There's another example of that depth that you're talking about that maybe doesn't work as well. Interesting technique, but I wonder if this ink color wasn't the perfect ink color for that.
Yeah, if there were three colors, if we grayed out this dark line there to have like a third mm-hmm. value, like that would do the trick, man. But check this out, you know, we're putting a guy to work and stuff, and that ponytail sells us on civility or something. You know, like he's cleaned up some. You know, he's getting used to the...
Yeah, you're right.
He's
yeah.
getting used to the daily routine.
They're making him clothes. You know, that civility is a good point. Even the acts that he's doing is like a farmer, like building a fence. It suggests like control over nature.
Sure, yeah.
You know, an order that you're imposing.
And
on
listen,
nature.
They accepted him, man. He's eating lunch with the homies.
Yeah, it's interesting. The little kids see this happening and they like run to tell, you know, their parents and things, because it is, again, nobody knows exactly what to do with Big Man. And then taunting Rebecca, whose face, how much does this face resemble Big Man's face?
It does,
from,
yeah.
like two pages back.
Yeah, for
it's
sure.
really close. You wonder if physically there's some connection between those two characters.
Right.
You know, not in like a DNA sense, but in like their bond.
Yeah, that's really good depth of field right there. See, it's when you have the inanimate objects that you can get away with it much easier. Like you lose figure work.
Right. Yeah, there's definitely been a few of those examples, like trees, things like that. As a textured background, I think it works really well. She goes to visit him. And they just have their fun, you know, kind of fooling around, making faces, making each other laugh. It's a nice sequence. Both of these two pages is a spread.
He must be British.
A clue of where he's floated in from. And you see alarm being expressed on his face whenever she stumbles and trips, falling backwards, but she's okay. All right, so the first bit of drama shows up here. One of the farmers comes racing out because another farmer's tractor rolled over on top of him. So they load him up in the back of the truck and off they go to see what can be done. They're trying as a group to lift this tractor with no luck. Guy's pinned under there screaming about how much pain he's in.
I wonder how he's going to get out of this.
You know how? With the great Alex Toth silhouette panel.
It's good, right?
It's really good. Again, you know, like Mazzucchelli's at the top of his powers. You know, all those choices to draw this way as a reader, like I'm sitting here reconsidering everything I knew. You know, I probably got this... I might have been in college when I got hold of this, so mid-90s, but still young enough that it's changing the way I think about comics making, which is pretty fun. Some of the gray works really well here is your background with the fields and the clouds,
yeah.
because it is depth. It definitely recedes. But Big Man picks up that tractor, you know, and the response, of course, is one, the guy gets out, so that's good. But you see, like, everybody realizes... This is a monster. Like, this is like King Kong showing up in your little tiny community.
Sell it right there, man.
Absolutely.
Just a golem.
Makes me want to see Mazzucchelli's wrestling comic. He gets scale. It'd work. But fantastic stuff. You know, the farmer who is the main character that's housing Big Man, the light showing on his face reveals that emotion, and it's so simple. It's the dot eyes. It might as well be Charles Schulz drawing that face. Totally expressive. One eyebrow.
Right. All he can say is thank you, but it's not a very happy thank you.
No. Here's the part of him talking about his father. You know, he's 8 years old when his father died, and he's taller than he was, but in his mind, he's still bigger than him. This is great stuff. This is Mazzucchelli, like, figuring out some things, a real culmination of the previous couple of issues of experimentation. Love that silhouette, too. Another one of those, like, Tothian, and it's so simple, too. Makes me mad I didn't include these in the silhouette zine. Those are really strong.
This is the image that is forever burnt into my mind, because that is the image from the Palmer's Picks when I first laid eyes on Rubber Blanket Comics. Yes, it is.
Is it the exact image?
I think so.
I think you're right.
Here, let's take a look.
Yeah, I think it is. You can see like the little plus sign above his eye.
Count the hairs on the top of his head.
I'm convinced it's the same one. Yeah, it's a very dramatic image. Dramatic enough that Mazzucchelli uses it for the cover. But the moment is this farmer saying, you know, this lock's a joke, so you're not locked in anymore. Throws it out in another one of those excellent, excellent silhouettes. And then tells him to get out, tells him to leave. And, you know, the reason is he knows this isn't going to end well.
Yeah, like...
The authorities are going to... They put the call in, you know, the authorities are going to show up. And what are they going to do with him? Let's find out, Ed.
Yeah.
That looks like an army jeep rolling up. I kind of wonder, like, where this story is set as well. It doesn't feel like America.
Mm.
Do you get that impression?
I mean, I do. I think it's, like, bigoted, Alabama-y kind of.
Oh, yeah,
Just rural-ass, podunk. You know, the places that we have to drive through to get to Charlotte, North Carolina for Heroes Con.
Yeah, it could be. I suppose it could be. It probably wouldn't. I don't know that this would go any differently in America anyway.
But also, the day, like, I just imagine it's like from a time period where like access to information isn't that much.
That might be it too. It's a different time. It feels like a different time period. That fairy tale quality that Mazzucchelli talks about, I think it's expressed in those ways, like in terms of time setting. But also this scene set at night, and that's a really good use of that second ink color for my money. And he's trying to explain, like, he's a giant, you know, he's in the barn. And these military guys don't give a shit. They're just not interested in what this farmer has to say. And whenever they see him, they kind of freak out, which probably makes sense. You know, the farmer's had a week or so with this guy and sees him as a gentle giant. All these military dudes are just like, what? And they get tough with Rebecca, the daughter, who's trying to stand by her friend.
Yep, man, they did make the cardinal mistake, dude. They didn't watch enough of those. Like, you've seen this trope play out in like Frankenstein type movies and shit, man. Like, you don't harm the little girl that the guy bonds with.
The other reference that I saw to this was of Mice and Men.
Yeah, Lenny.
Same kind of similar kind of ideas there. And that's what you see here. It's failure to communicate, right? Like, they seem to be hurting Rebecca. That incites Big Man to act. And that's a pretty damn powerful panel, too. Like, whenever he goes mad.
Right.
I mean, that's your Hulk moment. That's that monster moment. And shoots him right in the face. Shoots him in the back. Kills the guy, I guess. I mean, that guy looks dead to me, right?
Yeah, for sure. Like, but those little pea shooters, man, you know, they're going to do their job, but he still is getting a couple in.
Man, the nighttime stuff, too, is so great. Just the shadows, the figures racing through there. I don't know if I've seen Mazzucchelli talk Toth, but this feels so much like that DC war story where Absolutely. Everybody's running through the woods.
Absolutely.
Sweet page of that at the Billy Ireland that yes, everybody can look at if you want to see a Toth in
person.
With
this exact kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, the dogs. That feels very southern, like the dogs on the trail trying to run this guy down. And they get to this river, and that's it. That's where the trail runs cold. And all we have to show for Big Man is the tree that he helped plant that's growing up. He's gone, the barn's empty, and Rebecca's heartbroken.
She signs us off with the sawed-off gimmick.
What a story, Ed.
Oh, it's so good.
I haven't read this in a long time, and rereading this... Man, I was excited by it.
Yeah, such a pleasure, man. The economy of it, you know.
Wild marks.
No wasted movement.
The marks still stick with me as something that I do think a lot of cartoonists followed suit and experimented with this kind of approach to a rougher inking and a rougher brush mark-making approach.
Yeah, about gestural, it's about emotion, it's about feeling rather than... you know, drawing an exact Jeep Cherokee or something.
He was doing stuff with Kodansha. There was a time period around here where there were like four or five American artists that Kodansha was working with. And I wonder, like, what's he pulling from what he sees in manga as well? You know, like, these guys that are so inventive visually, I always wonder, like, what are they looking at? Where are they getting these ideas? What are they seeing that, you know, I don't see, but it's coming through in their work?
You know, it's funny you say that, man, because at first I was like, you know, aesthetically, in terms of drawing, like the figure work and stuff, probably like zero. But you go to almost any of these pages, and they're manga pages. big splashes, nonverbals, definitely meant to you know, view visually.
And like I said in the beginning, it's often, you know, compared to like a Hulk story, but feels a bit different. I think tone-wise, it's, there's a lot more going on here than a I don't know, Hulk homage superhero kind of story.
Yeah, of course. Of course. Like it's steeped way more in the literary, like you know, the Of Mice and Men than Incredible Hulk, just because the format is the same or whatever, but there's a lot more heart to this, man. Try, show me a Hulk comic that has this kind of heart in it.
Yeah. Man, there are stunning two-page spreads throughout this, too. So, pretty fun comic. Certainly, we are not done looking at David Mazzucchelli work, but I do think this is a pretty good bridge for people that know him from Batman Year One and Daredevil, and maybe don't know Asterios Polyp as much, or City of Glass, another one that I'd be interested to take a look at that is actually, I think, from around this time period. So, a really inventive artist, and I think you see a lot of that inventiveness coming together in this particular story.
Absolutely, man. Fun to look at. Very happy to reread it. I'm good if you're good.
I am.
Kayfabers, like, follow, subscribe to the YouTube channel, hit the bell, we'll notify you when new vids are available. Jimmy, what's out there?
Join me on patreon.com/jimrug, where you can see my own experimentation in out-of-print zines and mini-comics that you can download, and original art and notes and process posts, basically how I make comics. The way I make them, patreon.com/jimrug.
Red Room issue 1 out on the stands today. Murder on the Dark Web for Fun and Profit. It is a monthly comic, and every issue stands completely on its own. So if you see an issue, grab an issue. You can get them pre-ordered directly through the Fantagraphics website. If you don't get them put on your pull list at your local comic shop, you get there by way of the link tree in the description below. You could also hit up my Patreon in the link tree in the description below. Patreon.com/EdPiskor. There's over 100 Red Room pages up there right now. I put new strips up every Tuesday. You can read them all for $3.
Subscribe to the Cartoonist Kayfabe e-newsletter at the links below this video to keep up with everything we have going on and coming out this year. You can also find Cartoonist Kayfabe t-shirts and merchandise at the links below this video.
Jimmy, give them the marching orders, man. We're going to be on our way.
Read more comics.